This is a brief book summary of The Essence of the Reformation by Kirsten Burkett, published by Matthias Media in 98 and again in 2018. This book is 101 pages. Kirsten Burkett lectured in ethics, philosophy, and church history at Oak Hill Theological College and is now theological consultant for Church Society, an organization within the Church of England. As a general summary, this book is a short, readable account of the Protestant Reformation, considering the point of view of popular religion as well as the official changes. As a preface, many Reformation ideas for which Protestants were willing to die are under threat today. It is important for modern Christians to understand why they were worth dying for. Part 1. What was religion like in medieval Europe? Pagan beliefs and medieval religion. In 601, Pope Gregory instructed English missionaries not to destroy pagan temples, shrines, or festivals, but to rededicate them to Christian saints. For many ordinary people, medieval Christianity was a mix of pagan and official religion. It could be hard to tell the difference between pagan magic and, for example, healing water, in which the bones of a saint had been washed. In practice, magic and religion were very similar, with a worldview that, quote, the supernatural interacted daily with the natural and could be manipulated or at least affected by words and ritual, end quote. Pagan religion was officially condemned, but it was also assimilated. The sacraments and the priests. Within Christendom, religion was all-pervading. The seven sacraments, which had developed by the late Middle Ages, provided a framework for life. By the 11th century, the theology of the Mass was moving toward transubstantiation, where the substance of the bread changed into the real body of Christ during the ceremony. Accounts of visions in which, for example, the host would change into a bleeding child supported this idea. The church wielded supernatural power. A priest was considered supernaturally different from lay people. Consecrated churches had supernatural protection. Blessed candles could protect against evil forces. Religious words and church objects were held to have supernatural power. Saints and miracles. By the 16th century, pilgrimages to healing sites were frequent. It was a common belief that saints could wield supernatural power, both in life and after their death. So why the change? Religion was thriving in pre-Reformation Europe, yet much corruption existed, particularly around the opportunities to make money. Many church benefits were effectively for sale, causing widespread anger. The Reformation overturned, quote, many social injustices and corruptions, end quote, which was often welcome, but also effectively involved the re-evangelization of Europe, as many people heard biblical Christianity for the first time. Part 2, then. What happened where? In Germany. It's significant that the Reformation began in Germany. German cities had a great deal of political independence. And although Emperor Charles V was against the Reformation, many German princes had the power to oppose him. Also, Roman power over German appointments was often resented. German universities were flourishing, and the printing press enabled the quick spread of ideas. Martin Luther had come to despair of the power of his monastic discipline in overcoming his sin. He came to the gospel realization of forgiveness, but it was the sale of indulgences that prompted him to protest. His 95 Theses stirred up considerable debate, leading to his eventual excommunication. But German secular authorities protected him. In 1521, Luther had to go into hiding, where he began to translate the Bible into German. Luther was controversial, but the movement was to grow more radical still with the Anabaptists and the Radical Reformation. There was a peasant uprising that was brutally crushed. The Augsburg Confession was settled in 1530, and in 1531, the Schmalkaldic League was formed, a confederacy of the Protestant cities in Germany. The whole social and legal structure of Germany had been affected by the Reformation. In Switzerland, Ulrich Zwingli was a priest from Zurich in 1518. Becoming convinced of Reformation doctrine, although his views on the Eucharist differed from that of Luther's, he began to preach it. He was given permission to hold a public disputation in 1523, and he won. Following this, in Zurich, the Mass was abolished, images were removed, Pilgrimages and saints' days were also abolished. Other Swiss cities followed, like Bern, Basel, and Schaffhausen, although several resisted. By 1529, a religious war seemed inevitable. The desire of all to avoid a war led to a peaceful resolution in 1529 and 1531, but this meant that Protestantism could not advance beyond the existing Protestant cantons. In French-speaking Geneva, under the protection of Bern, Farel began religious renewal from 1532. Calvin converted to Protestantism in his native France by 1533, and he fled persecution there, coming as a refuge to Basel, where he published the first edition of his Institutes of the Christian Religion. He was persuaded to come to Geneva, where, despite being exiled for a time, he reorganized the church and the city to be thoroughly Protestant. His moral reform, however, met with opposition from members of the city council. When the heretic Michael Servetus came to the city, he was arrested, and Calvin's efforts to bring a more merciful sentence were defeated. Servetus was burned to death. Calvin's Geneva passed laws against various immoralities and enforced church attendance, as well as making school compulsory, and laws concerning public health. In France, the monarchy in France had close ties to the church, and cardinals were very powerful. Initially, a number of Protestant communities formed in France, but from around 1543, their dispersal began, initiated by local magistrates even before the king's order. Under persecution, the Reformation spread, strongly influenced by Calvin, so that in 1559 there was a first national synod of Protestants. In 1561-2, France saw the peak of French Protestantism, and Calvin was overwhelmed with requests for pastors. However, 1572 saw the infamous St. Bartholomew's Day massacre, and Protestantism did not recover. In Scotland, Scotland probably demonstrated the most thorough reform of any country. There was little loss of life or civil unrest. Resistance against the clergy had been stirring from early in the 16th century, and there was considerable anti-church sentiment. John Knox had been one of Edward VI's preachers in England. He fled to Geneva when Queen Mary came to the throne. He returned to Scotland in 1559 and began to shape anti-church resentment into Protestantism. This was a potential threat to France, who had close political ties with Scotland, and this persuaded Elizabeth I to an alliance with Scottish Protestants. The Scottish Parliament accepted Reformation doctrine, and Scotland remained Protestant despite the Catholic Mary Queen of Scots. In England, Lutheran ideas began spreading in England, particularly at Cambridge, where the New Testament in Greek was already being studied. One of those present in Cambridge was William Tyndale. As a young tutor, he decided to translate the New Testament into English, but was denied support. In 1524, he sailed to the continent and spent time with Luther and finished his translation, which was promptly banned back in England. Tyndale spent the next few years in Europe publishing Protestant writings and beginning an Old Testament translation. He was captured by English agents and executed for heresy in 1536. Henry VIII wished to divorce his wife, Catherine, to marry Anne Boleyn, but the Pope refused permission. The young theologian Thomas Cranmer suggested that Henry could consult English universities, and the universities agreed that Henry's first marriage was invalid. In 1531, Henry charged the entire English clergy with treason and insisted that they recognize him as the head of the church in England, which was legally settled in 1532. Henry married Anne and appointed Cranmer as Archbishop of Canterbury. The dissolution of the monastery soon followed, and the theology of the church moved toward Lutheranism. Bibles in English were placed in every church. Under Henry's son, Edward VI, the Reformation was consolidated, and a new prayer book and other revisions were issued. After Edward died in 1553, several leading Protestants and many laypeople were martyred under Mary I, but Elizabeth I returned the country to a moderate Protestantism. Part 3. A New World. Did doctrine matter? The humanist monk and scholar Erasmus was just as eager for reform of moral corruption in the church and published the Greek New Testament. He was against superstition and the pagan elements of popular religion, as well as the excessive devotion to the saints. And yet he opposed Luther on theology, holding that humans cooperate with God in their salvation. This highlights that the Protestant Reformation was essentially a doctrinal movement, creating a new world of belief. Doctrinal issues. Luther summarized the doctrinal issues as sola gratia, sola Christus, sola scriptura, and sola fide. Medieval church practice was challenged at key points. For example, on the Mass, the old doctrine that Christ was present and offered up by the priest as a sacrifice was rejected. Only two sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism, were retained, and both were redefined. The notion of unwritten truths of authoritative tradition was rejected, with Scripture held up as the ultimate authority. Scripture was therefore to be made available to all. Saint worship was forbidden, and many shrines were destroyed. A changing world. The outward changes of the Reformation were very noticeable. Great changes in the churches, in their contents, and what was happening within them. Yet the Reformers also had a different view of humanity as utterly sinful, as powerless to escape from sin, as equally far from God, but once saved, equally close to God. All, therefore, were saints. How to battle the devil? Not by physical objects, incantations, or sacred charms, but by understanding the truth. They had different views of their idea of a relationship with God, achieved through a trust of a person, not ritual practices. This transformed their view of God as loving Father who did all that was necessary for salvation. It was a change in thought and life and how to be a human being.